Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast himself, Mr. Pete Dawson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
It's good to see you, Christopher, on this day in November. I always forget when these shows go out. We always record a couple of days in advance. So we are hurtling towards Christmas. I'm very much not prepared for it, to be quite frank. I feel like I'm still on my Japanese holiday. I'm in that situation where a couple of days before I leave Japan, I always go, don't need to go back, done, sorted, fine. And then a couple of weeks later, you're like, I want to go back. I want to have a coolish. I want to drink beer and Rockaholic. I want to just fucking. I just want to roll around town.
Aww.
I just want to hang out, baby. Fuming. Absolutely.
I get like that. Yeah. I got like that while I was back in the UK for like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
By the end, I was like, oh, I really miss like everything in Japan. So, yeah. I don't know how the hell I'm ever going to leave this country. I'm always going to feel that.
Dragging you back in.
You know. You think after 10, 11 years, you'd be like, oh, I'm bored, time to move on now. But I really just like living here. Like, not even on a YouTube work level. I just like Japan. I like
just on living,
being able to get on a bullet train and disappear into the mountains. I think it's just like the geography of the country, it really lends itself to exploration and discovery. And yeah, there's a reason I've gone to every prefecture in this country. I bloody love exploring it. You never know what lies around the corner in the land of the rising sun.
And I guess you're kind of like, it's quite your job is quite unique in that where I pretend. Yes, coffee book. Good.
Last line of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Last line of the book.
Guy didn't like it. Reviewer didn't like it. I would say that going, I think your job is quite unique in that, you know, I liked to think of myself as this free spirit who's, you know, in charge of his own destiny, but I am a corner of a podcast company and I can't just sort of waddle away into the forest for a couple of days to do some recording because I can't do
there
that. There are responsibilities.
I've built a house of
broken bones that I must live inside. So your job is quite unique in that you can sort of go, right, I'm doing this now. Go do this now. I think if you ever get a proper job, you're going to be absolutely ruinous. You're going to be a nightmare getting a proper job. You won't be a landless.
I mean, I feel the same as you there. Like, I think, yeah, I have this image of a free spirit. Clearly, I'm very lucky traveling around doing what I do, but I still do a lot of editing, a lot of planning, a lot of mundane stuff.
But like, you're very much like, you have to do that because that's literally what you do. So you are betrothed to another job. That is Mr. Adobe Premiere.
Unfortunately.
I tried to chip over to in Adobe Premiere this week because I had a job to do. I was actually editing one of these shows and I was like, you know what? I've got a couple of days. Why don't I sit down and instead of using Sony Vegas, I'll just use Premiere. And
nobody uses Sony Vegas. It's not 1976.
Still being released. They've moved to a subscription model, Chris. No. So Sony seems to think it's important, or Matrox, or whoever owns it now. I thought, I'll teach myself Premiere. I'll use it properly. Because I've only dipped a toe. But it's just so different and so more difficult and complicated.
I
just
so want more difficult.
Chop, 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 slide, chop, 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 chop. That's what I need. But what I get is, you're going to get a little razor blade and chop, 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 chop here, chop here. I don't like it. Don't know the shortcuts. Rubbish.
I admit I don't enjoy editing that much anymore. I do find it increasingly hard to edit. I've edited something like 300 videos now, I think. And I get weird when I get to editing. I get really stressed. I've got like PTSD, I think, from bloody editing all these years. So I find it really hard. And yeah, I'm such a control freak, even though I have a lot of help on editing now from some fantastic people. I still have to get involved. I still, you know, have to do some editing, and it's a problem. I wish there was a better way. I know there's lots of AI tools now where you can edit, and like AI will cut the video up for you and all this sort of stuff. And we actually got a story this week about AI coming up on the news front. But I think the day's coming where AI can edit the video for you. Two fantastic editors that I've hired.
Certainly because, I mean, so much of content creation now is working with an algorithm. Presumably, having an AI tool that takes all of the algorithmic concerns into account and can produce a rough draft of what pulls people in, keeps people watching, and serves up a big pile of cash at the end of it, presumably will be the sweet spot for a lot of creators. It's not a good place, but it might be a more lucrative place, I suppose.
I mean, often the best, the most successful channels in terms of views and everything, they're not the best edited. They're just cut really bloody fast. And I think, I think an AI could probably pull that off right now.
Yeah.
Without being creative or doing anything. Mm. You know, if you look at a lot of the biggest YouTubers, it's just like, boom, 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 a thing happens. Cut. So good editing, from my experience, good editing doesn't mean bigger and better results, unfortunately. Same with for quality as well. A concept that sounds bold, like I travelled Japan for free, like somebody did, as we covered 2 weeks ago, will do better than like a passionate documentary about someone who's having a, you know, living in the wilderness in Japan and living a difficult life. Like, it's a shame. It's a shame. Go get the title. It's all titles and thumbnails. And we're no exception on this podcast, I guess.
True that.
With my stupid face and all the thumbnails.
But I think there's, but you don't think there's like kind of a relationship between consumer of media and the person who creates it, where they they understand that, like, I watch, or certainly used to watch Justin Hawkins Rides Again. The guy from The Darkness, lead singer of The Darkness, basically reviews music and, you know, new media and stuff like that. He's had a steady kind of climb for, you know, really, really exploded, which is not a steady climb, it's an explosion. It's shut up, Donaldson. Anyway, he is doing that, and all of his thumbnails, you know, very straightforward, not particularly bombastic, or he doesn't do a lot of like silly
bombastic.
YouTube. He doesn't do like the silliest YouTube face, but all of his things are, is this shit? Like all of his YouTube thumbnails are, is this a load of old rubbish? And do I hate this? Is this rubbish? Are they the worst band ever? And there's this kind of like game that the consumer of said media plays with the creator of the media, because they know that Justin Hawkins is probably going to like the thing he's reviewing. There's very few things that he reviews harshly, because at the end of the day, he's a creative person and he respects people who are creators. So he's never going to slag off other musicians because A, makes festivals quite difficult, and B, he respects craft and he respects people who do stuff properly. But I know going in that salacious headline isn't true. No, they're not the worst band in the world, because you're clearly going to like and respect what they do, even if it's a, you know, third single from their last album, Blink-182, kind of like, you know, trolling of what their fans expect. So I would say that there is a little bit of a game. I understand that I'm going to be lied to going into a video as a massive consumer of YouTube media. I know that the person who's producing this and presenting this video, the actual content is different to what the actual packaging is. So it's silly and unneeded, but it's where we are at the moment. It's the silly load of rubbish. I hate it.
Well, I mean, I'm just as guilty. I've made videos called, like, 12 Reasons I Hate Japan. Why not to move to Japan?
Get there. Otherwise, there's no point in making the video if no one's watching it. So you have to play the game. Mm. And you just hope that people are clever enough to stick around after they've been lied to.
play the game.
Play the game.
Just use, the trick is just use the word worst in every worst, title. Yeah. Something's worst, X, Y, Z.
Okey-dokey.
Always gets the clicks or things I hate. All that negativity. Yeah. Negativity drives traffic.
Worst it's, dads in my life. And you should review the dads. But, all the my Jerry Donaldson, the worst.
The worst dad.
The worst dad.
Dear, oh dear. Well, hopefully this story doesn't involve a terrible dad. It's a story from Amlan from India. He says, LA greetings, Chris. Greetings, Pete the Elite Donaldson and Chris the Rainmaker Broad. This is Amlan, originally from India. Lived in Tokyo for a year now, but now living in Seattle. I've been watching Abroad Japan since 2017 and the podcast since 2021. I decided to spend 1 year in Japan, motivated by your travels, studying at the University of Tokyo and exploring other prefectures at my leisure. As the day of departure arrived, I was a bit depressed, for I was definitely going to miss the scenery, the culture, and the food. As I queued for my boarding at Haneda Airport, a buff guy wearing a mask and glasses approached me. Pointing to my Wrestle Kingdom 17 t-shirt, he said, "Oh, you like NJPW?" I dialed up my Japanese to the max, he said, and said, "Yes, I'm a big fan. Why do you like it?" he said. I went on and on about why NJPW has great camera work, great storytelling, and unparalleled athleticism. He then removed his mask and said, "Oh, I'm Tanahashi." It was Hiroshi Tanahashi, an absolute legend of NJPW, travelling in the same plane. I was starstruck and couldn't speak for a few seconds. I was a bit dazed and kept saying, "Majide, are you serious? Like, right, for real?" And I snapped back when he offered to take a photo. I then talked with him and told him how much I respected his work and discussed his recent bout with MJF. He then wished me the best and my day was made. Have you guys been starstruck while meeting someone? Have you? Thank you so much for the excellent entertainment. Mm. Thank you, Amlan from India, whose story I fucking bungled. I don't know why. I couldn't read it.
It's just you get have scared. No idea. You get scared of terms like NJPW. So NJPW is...
Yeah, I don't know why.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I've got breaks.
It's a big old Japanese corporation. They're like the WWE in Japan. And Hiroshi Tanahashi is like their Hulk Hogan. Like you know, these huge...
Oh, cool.
It's hard to sort of like understate. And I would say if you ever met Hulk Hogan or any 90s wrestlers back in the day on their plane, they would be off their heads on somas. They would be drunk as skunks and they'd be off their head on somas. But I mean, what an astonishing meeting. It would be like meeting like The Rock or something, but Japanese.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's awesome. I've never met a celebrity like that, apart from Ken Watanabe, I guess, and Hyde. But I met Prince Andrew. Does that count? Is that good?
The UK, yeah, hopefully. The British Isles, please. Thank you. Yeah, good. All right.
And I met Elon Musk, but that was sort of before he was who he is now.
Yes.
He was barely known, so it wasn't that. That right. Exciting. It was still cool to meet him. At the time, not so much now.
Have you sort of met like any people sort of not socially but like out in the wild? Because I've never star I have ever approached to say hello to was a guy who played an albino in Iceland called Noi. I can't remember the actor's name, but he was in like Blade Runner, the new one, and he was in a couple of other things. But he's this kind of like he's got no hair. He's got alopecia. But he played an albino, Noi the albinoi in Icelandic. And it was one of my favorite films back in the like late 90s, noughties. And I was in a bar in Iceland, like the first night in Iceland, having a drink, having swigs, and this guy just pops his head around the door, and I went, I know Iceland have only got like 200,000 people, but I was like, is that Noi Albinoi? Is that Noi the Albinoi? The albino? And so I chased him down the road. Sorry, are you? And he went, yeah. I said, can I get a picture? And I've never done that before.
Was it because you were drunk?
Yeah, and also...
Definitely
I
was.
I think it's a different... I think that, obviously in Iceland, he's probably very famous, but with Westerners, he's probably not. It was an art house film, pretty much. And I sort of thought, well, I mean, it's worth getting a picture because... But I've never done that before, never done that again. The only time I've ever taken pictures with celebrities is when I've been interviewing them, and that's I had to do it for work, for the Facebook page and stuff. So I've never, I love footballers and I love football.
So I guess it's Yeah, I mean, you've met every celebrity ever. I guess it's the thrill of meeting a celebrity in the wild, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, sort of exactly. You're there to do a job, and, yeah. and outside of that, I think people get very, very excited. But, yeah.
I mean, the only time I recall that happening was the time I was in that shoe shop with Natsuki in London, and Tim Henman, the tennis player, was there. Brilliant. It was really weird. Natsuki wanted some £2,000 shoes.
Yes.
Like you do at Christmas. He was like, I want to buy British shoes. Mm. This was the first time he came to the UK, and he was convinced he wasn't going to be coming back, and he wanted the most expensive shoes he could find. We went in one shop, the Queen's Appointed Shoe Shop.
Yeah.
And there was a man like chopping up some leather in the corner on like a milling machine or something, still. Like it was the Victorian.
On a lathe. What's he doing that?
Genuinely. It was really quite cool. And then it was a sort of place in like Mayfair, London, where you feel out of your depth. You feel like you're not allowed to be there. Like you've broken into somewhere royal standing. And Natsuki nearly fell out of his seat when he saw that one pair of shoes there cost £4,000. But he was okay at the next place where they cost £2,000 for a pair of shoes. I don't know how he funded it or afforded it at the time, but we walked in there though, and Tim Henman, the champion,
the Henmania,
wasn't really ever a champion, was he?
He's the owner of Henman Hill.
Well, they
became Murray Mount.
Tim Henman, the UK's number one tennis player at the time or before, was there, and then he walked out, and then Kenneth Branagh, the actor, director,
right,
filmmaker, he walked in. It was just really
Natsuki's
surreal because
kind of fellowship with other shoe fans of the world.
Tim Henman, Kenneth Branagh, and Natsuki. Mm. But it was really weird. You know, the shoe shop was like the size of this space I've got here. It's very small, and I was just sitting there, and I was just sort of watching Natsuki get his feet measured, and sort of Kenneth Branagh was just standing there watching Natsuki getting his shoes measured. And it was just like, oh, this is
rather
really
strange,
weird.
Yeah. You do see that in the centre of London. You do see, like, if you walk through Soho and you don't see... Who's the guy who was in the boat at Rock? The big tall man. He's not
Nick Frost?
No, big tall man, kind of older British gentleman. He was in the boat at the Rock. If you don't see that guy wandering around. I always forget his name now. But if you don't see, like, a person who's been in a British rom-com by the time you've walked from one side
Bill
of Soho to the... Bill Nye.
Hugh Grant.
That's it, it was Bill Nye. I always get, who's the
oh, was it
was
Ashley? Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it was Bill Nye. Who's the science guy? That's also Bill Nye, isn't it?
Bill Nye. That's Bill Nye.
Bill Nye. Okay. And there's Nye.
Bill Nye. Different, isn't it?
Very similar. Very similar vibes. But yeah, if you don't see him wandering around Soho, you haven't been in Soho for long enough, to be quite frank. So he's always around. But you do see that sort of thing. I remember sort of like when I lived in Soho, I'd be like... who's that guy making a lot of noise? There's a guy like in front of my house just making a load of bloody noise. It was like shouting. I was like, I come downstairs, it was Mr. Robot. It was like the bloke who played Mr.
Fuck?
Robot.
Rami Malek?
Yeah, Rami Malek. It was just a leather jacket with a girl stamping through his sword. Shut up, Mr. Robot. You're supposed to be a robot. Power yourself down, dickhead.
God, he was terrible in No Time to Die, that James Bond film. My God.
Is he
great
actor? Scars? Miscast. That's kind of quite
gauche,
isn't it?
Just a really crap villain. Mm. Like, he had like no good memorable lines. He was really weird.
I think he's quite a spooky guy. I think it would be, I'd like him.
But enough about Rami Malek
enough
and
about
Kenneth
Rami
Brown.
Malek.
I must admit.
Pipe it down.
I wish I could. I did go back to that shoe shop while I was in the UK back in August. I didn't buy from it. I just walked past it to see if I could see anyone famous, but I didn't see anyone. No. It's rubbish.
Never mind.
Who knows who might turn up there. It was in one of those arcades in Mayfair. Anyway,
yes.
Enough about the shoe shop. But it's weird, like, that's where the celebrities of the world are. They're just in a shoe shop in Mayfair in central London. I wish I'd go back there and tell Kenneth Branagh I loved him in the wild, wild west as evil wheelchair man. Nobody remembers that film because it's unspeakably
I remember it from
shit.
The rap. But I remember the story of it in the rap.
I mean, that's quite good. But like, do you remember like the villain's like a guy who's got no legs?
Wasn't it? Yeah.
And he's... Yeah, and he speaks this very strong southern accent.
I don't think you can get away with that anymore. No. I don't think you get. You probably couldn't get away with Noi the Albanoi, but because I don't think the guy was an Albanoi. Albanoi, albino. But yeah, I don't think you get away with having a disabled actor. Sorry, a non-disabled actor playing a disabled actor who also has a big spider, big steampunk spider.
Especially in a film that shit. Mm. That was what an awful, awful film. Will Smith turned down The Matrix, I think, to appear in the Wild Wild West.
Well, look,
what a fuck
he's
up!
Got, he's
what
got
a fuck
bigger,
up that was.
He's got bigger relationship fish to fry at the moment. He's got
that he does. Yeah. That he most certainly does. But what's going on in Japan this week, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in on the news going on in Japan.
Chris. Japanese tea brand Ito-en is using an AI-generated sports model to promote his new line of drinks in a move that some see as safeguarding the company from potential scandal caused by a human spokesperson. Ito-en released an ad in early September for its new drink line, Ocha Katechin Green Tea. The video features
That's a really weirdly named tea. Katechin. That's not normal. Oi Ocha Katechin Green Tea.
Oi Ocha Katechin. The video features an unnamed spokesmodel. About a month after uploading the ad to YouTube, the company confirmed that the model shown in the video was created using AI. The label used for the drink was also made using AI. The company had its designers create over a dozen designs before subjecting the draft to an AI evaluation process. And then human designers looked at the labels one more time before deciding which one to use. So, I mean, the designers created the designs and the AI just, like we spoke about before, algorithmically went, right, that probably will tick a lot more boxes than the other one that you've got. So I kind of understand that. Mm. But it's a big move and it's something I imagine, you know, the Japanese probably aren't that concerned about it because the Japanese, they're very much an island nation who basically just do whatever the hell they bloody want. But...
It's true.
There's a lot of people who are obviously commenting that an AI model, using an AI model as the company's spokes model, can free them from a possible scandal further down the line from a human actor. Now, I'm sorry, if someone who does an advert for tea is later found to be problematic in some way, like, you're not, like, is that a real big vibe? You know, is that really going to kill your company? I mean, Subway had Jared, who is a registered sex offender. Like, they spent millions of pounds for this guy, and he did some atrocious things, and I think was in prison for it. And so, like, is it going to kill your brand, or is it just like, well, we didn't know. Like, that's what scandals are. We didn't employ them for what they do in their private life. We employ them because they managed to lose a lot of weight eating Subways. So
I guess this Japanese companies are worried because of the old Johnny's scandal.
Yeah,
big entertainment company that where the founder had been doing unspeakably bad things and. Yeah, but let's face it, they just wanted to save some money.
Exactly. It's not the kind of like, oh, we're worried about what the unnamed model might say about our tea in 10 years' time. We're talking about saving a bit of money on renting a woman for a bit. Excuse my French.
I mean, AI artwork, it's a tough one. It's coming, it's unstoppable, it's happening. I've used it in thumbnails already to add stuff to certain thumbnails in the background and whatnot. And it's hard to know. Like, some people are outraged by it. I think it's a tough one. I don't like the idea of, like, good artists losing their jobs and whatnot.
Well, it's not even...
The only time I would use it is to, like, augment a photo I've taken and manipulate
out,
it.
Yeah. I mean,
that being said, and this is where I dig my grave and fuck myself. Basically, I've got a video coming out, and talk about AI artwork's the future and nothing else matters. No, I've got a video, and in the video, I talk about a typhoid epidemic in the town of Maidstone, the town that I'm from. And try as I might, I couldn't find any photos of the Maidstone typhoid epidemic because it was in the 18th century or something. So I got AI Midjourney to create what that would look like, and I featured that in the video. Now, ethically, what are the ethics around that? Should I have hired an artist for $500 to do it, take 3 or 4 days, or should I go on Midjourney, type in Maidstone typhoid epidemic, hit enter, wait 15 seconds and have some subpar artwork.
The problem is, though, I think, that data becomes... There are no pictures of the typhoid epidemic in Maidstone, but now we have a picture of the typhoid epidemic in Maidstone, and it was created by you and Midjourney. So I would say that that becomes, because the internet doesn't really discern between truth and fiction, and first party accounts of what happened at any one time, that's where it starts to get a bit murky, and that's not your fault. That's literally the internet not being very good at filtering truth.
It's not my fault. The internet did it.
And truth and naughty stuff that's not actually existing. And also, it's, you know, the big...
You can tell it's AI, though.
Right.
You can tell. It looks awful.
Just do a bad job. Just do a bad job at it and you're absolutely fine. Yeah. My conscience is clear because I'm bad at this. But it is what data set you use, isn't it? It's kind of like the objections about AI. It's not necessarily even about giving money... not giving much money, I suppose, towards a AI solution to... rather than giving an artist time to composite or put together something that's quite tedious and quite rubbish and, you know, all that stuff. It's the data sets, obviously. So that data is the internet. Copyright be damned, just trawling the internet and scraping every picture of every person. We're all in the data sets. Everyone's hard-earned art is in that data set. And then you start to sort of realise, well, you know, we're training these AI models illegally in many senses, and that's not fair, and the artist who created the art in the first place, if I want a picture of Chris Broad as a Pixar monster, Pixar, that's in the style of Pixar, you know, and Chris Broad's created my new Chris Broad Pixar guy has been created, trained by the art and the hard work of the Pixar artists, etc. So it's kind of where do you draw the line? I mean, I'm not going to shedding tears about
it's a tough one. It's a real tough one. I know a lot of people who use AI in every way for everything now, and it's scary. Yeah, it's scary. It's coming for a lot of jobs, whether we like it or not, ethically. Or
oh,
whatever.
Mine's already gone. I still hire
a lot of graphic designers. Like, I've got a great designer who's working on a logo right now. I've got some designers working on animations. But then one day, the AI will be there where it can do all that maybe better, and my competitors will do that for free. And then that's when you sort of go, oh, shit, what do I do
here? There'll always be a place for humanity,
it's tough,
I'm
man.
Sure. There'll always be a place for humanity. Yeah. We'll all get bored of TikTok. Those kind of videos where there's a video at the top, bit of stand-up or something, and the bottom, somebody just playing a video game. So bizarre.
Yeah.
This life.
But I know, I hope some protections are put in place for graphic designers, graphic artists and whatnot. Even though I didn't get anyone to commission the Maidstone typhoid epidemic,
Typhoid, please? I'm hearing a lot of, this is what I did, this is what I didn't do. I want you to look into that camera lens and apologise to typhoid.
Sorry, typhoid.
Sorry, thank you.
It was the only way. It was the only way. But I take pride in hiring artists and great people that I work with, and I think that's irreplaceable. And you know, that's something I'm proud of, knowing that when I look at like the logo for Journey Across Japan, a great artist has spent time working on that. You know, so yeah. But whatever, I think a lot of YouTubers, a lot of people I know, are just using AI in every way now.
Shortcuts, yeah.
Because it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. It's only going to get better, and it's only going to start. Take my job one day. One day, AI will be able to go through 10 Abroad Japan videos, basically copy my face, and just do this. And then there'll be a version of me like Chris Fraud. It'll be like me, but much more handsome, with a much nicer voice, doing almost the same thing.
Yeah.
And people will watch that instead of me, and then I'm done. So AI is coming for us all, even you. With your nice voice,
they'll never get my non-sequiturs. If you can train an AI model to start a sentence in the middle and eat their way out, and just like drawl on about nothing, not really remembering words, if you can train an AI model to forget the word Bill Nye, well, now we're talking, all right? But you can't forget what I've forgotten and what I forget on a daily basis, all right? AI, you can come at me, but you're gonna miss.
Tis true. Tis true. For now. But I did see I saw a really good, I can't remember what it's called, I saw like an AI Beatles, like an AI augmented Beatles, and it was like terrifying. I've heard it before, AI like mimic a song and an artist, but it's so good. It's so accurate now that we are unequivocally fucked.
Yep.
Especially me, because it's 10:30 p.m. and I'm tired. My God.
All right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Wow.
All right, onto the fax machine. Let's get through this before I collapse. We got a story from Clifford.
Oh, Clifford.
And it begins, hello, Alaska Chris and Pete. Alaska Chris? Ooh. What's that all about? My wife and I are due to spend 3 carefree weeks in Japan, starting in Osaka and winding through the countryside up to Tokyo. I wanted to know what recommended eSIM to get. Clifford, not the big red dog. Pete. You've done that. Oh, I don't know anything about SIM cards.
I can't remember which eSIM I had for crying. Ubigi.
Oh.
Ubigi I got, and it Ubigi? Was excellent. Ubigi. Get involved, Trev. It's decent. I got a 50 gigabyte plan for two. I was there for like two and a half weeks. And 50 gigabytes saw me quite nice, to be honest. Didn't have to really think about Wi-Fi or anything. There are variations on how successful these eSIMs are in Japan, because obviously there's, you know, different companies that provide coverage, but Ubigi was very much a good one. Really easy to install on both my Android device and my partner's Apple one as well. So round of applause for Ubigi. Thank you.
Ubigi.
Ubigi.
What a weird name. Hello, Capybara Chris and Pangolin Pete. Catherine from Tasmania here. Love the podcast. What's the best month to see the autumn leaves, and what area of Japan is the best place for it? I mean, that would be autumn.
Autumn days.
October, November. Isn't
it? Did you go to a non-denominational
school?
Yes, school,
I remember that song.
Autumn days when the grass is jeweled and the silk inside a chestnut shell. Jet planes meeting in the air to be refueled. All these things I love so well, so I mustn't forget.
Why does it sound so creepy when you sing it? It used to sound brilliant.
You mustn't forget! Chris!
That's so... I forgot, like, we sang school hymns.
Jet planes meeting in the air to be refueled is a weird thing to be thankful for, because it's something that almost never happens in commercial airliners.
No, only American military planes do that while on bombing runs. Yeah. So I never get that either. Yep. Best time, autumn, Japan, November. November is the time.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the autumn colours. I've got a big video I'm working on set across the whole country.
Uh-oh.
And I need the autumn leaves. So I've got my camera in hand. I'm looking out the window, like, waiting, waiting. 2 weeks' time.
It's going to...
I'll be ready again.
He's going to be.
He's
going to travel the length of the country, licking soy sauce bottles and sneaking onto Shinkansen.
All the worst influences, streamers, YouTubers rolled into one sweet, horrible, shitty package. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys. Do all over again. But for now, I'm very tired. It's 10:30. I'm dehydrated. I'm hungry.
Uh-oh.
I went to the gym yesterday for the first time in a long time. So my body's like broken, but you're going to see a whole new, fitter, sexier, brillianter Chris who can say words properly.
Well, you were giving it the, you wanted the abs by Christmas. That's what I had. Abs by Christmas, you shouted.
That won't be happening. It'll be abs by next Christmas. But until then, guys, we'll see you later in the week. Have yourself a good one. Bye for now.
Ta-ta!
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.